Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, we're dealing here with Lakshana Mula Vyanjana, where there is a figurative usage. There are two kinds of figurative usage. Yes. I'm sorry, hold on a second. Yeah. Lakshana Mula is avivakshita vachya. We don't mean to express the literal meaning, where a figurative usage expresses some other connected meaning, not the literal literal meaning. But as a result of being based on such a figurative usage, a suggestion can either have the literal meaning eclipsed or else have it discarded altogether. So, we have another example, and then we'll analyze it. All these examples in this book have been composed by the author himself, Kavi Karnapur, especially for the book. They're not quotes from anything else. Premna vidrutam ekavad yad ubayos tan manasam manasam sarvas viva dashasu yannavanavam tat sauridam sauridam yat krishnasya vinoda bur aharahas tad yovanam yovanam Tad vicheda vidau nayat parichayas tad jivanam jivanam. Looks similar to the previous example, but it's somewhat different. That mentality, manasam, is a real mentality. When, out of love, there is a melting together of both hearts, and the two hearts of the two people involved in a shared mentality merge together, melt together. That's a real mentality. Sarvas eva dashasu yannavanavam tat sauridam sarvidam. That friendship is real friendship, in which, in all conditions, all situations, it's ever fresh, newer and newer. Tat krishnasya vinoda buddha hara has tad yovanam yovanam. And that youthfulness, is real youthfulness, which is the playground of Krishna's sports constantly, day after day. That is real youthfulness. Tad vicheda vidau na yad parichayas tad jivanam jivanam. And that life is a life. That life which is unknown when there is separation from Krishna, that's a life. I'll explain that according to Vishnu Chakravarti in a minute. That life is a life which is unknown in the situation of being separated from Krishna. Well, that's a real mind or mentality in which the lover and the beloved seem to have a single mind. Their minds have melted together. Now here, there's something special about the second word, manasa. The manasa is a manasa. Here, the second word is using the word as a word. There's a distinction between, logical distinction between vachaka, vachya, and vachaka. Yeah. In other words, that mentality is appropriately termed by the word mentality or manasa. That manasa really deserves to be called manasa. So that saying the same word second time means that this is the right word to use to describe that. That manasa is a manasa. In other words, that manasa should be called a manasa. So what's being expressed by the second use of the same word is the fact of that word being the right word to describe the thing. Same thing with the other second and third. That friendship really deserves to be called friendship, which is ever fresh in all conditions. And that youth is real youth, which is the constant sporting ground of Krishna. In other words, if Krishna can enjoy your youth, then your youth is a youth, is worth calling youth. So that is, because we're, manasa means the disposition of the mind, but then we give it an extended figurative meaning that it's the fit usage of the word manasa. That's not the literal meaning of manasa. A dictionary will tell us manasa means disposition of the mind. It won't tell us that it's manasa is what deserves to be called manasa. That doesn't make sense in the dictionary. But that's what it means in the second usage. So that's a figurative, lakshana usage. And therefore it's avivakshitartha. The literal meaning is not what's meant, because otherwise we're just saying the same word twice with the same meaning. That's repetition. That's a fault. But the word has a different meaning, an extended figurative meaning, the second time we say manasa. It works like that in English, too. That manasa is that mentality is a mentality. Which of the two kinds is it? Is it eclipsed, or is it completely discarded, the literal meaning? Yes, according to Vishwanath, because we have two words. The first word, the literal meaning is there. So we don't lose it in the second word altogether, but it's eclipsed by the idea of that's what deserves to be called by the word manasa. It's eclipsed. Where do you... Where? Oh, yatava. That just means here's another example. Or for another example... In the last line, what's actually being said, according to Vishwanath, his interpretation of it is, that life is a life which is not unknown, which doesn't exist. In other words, the only way to live, if Krishna is gone, is to die. The only life worth calling a life when Krishna is absent is no life at all. That the life should be unknown means it shouldn't exist. It shouldn't be alive. You shouldn't be alive if Krishna's left you. This verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani to Lalita Devi when Radharani was very disturbed on Krishna's having left and gone to Mathura. So dramatic effect here is that she seems to be just talking about what's a real proper mentality, what's a real friendship, what's real youth. And then she makes the statement at the end, better I was dead. So it takes a dramatic turn in the last line. But anyways, another example simply of a similar example of figurative usage in which the literal meaning is eclipsed but not completely lost, being used as the basis on which something is suggested. Now, I didn't mention what's being suggested here. Yes. Paricca is a noun. It's a definite noun. There is no parichaya of it. Yat parichaya. Yat there is standing for the shashti. Yasya paricca nasti. Of which there is no acquaintance. So a life is a real life of which there is no acquaintance. In other words, a life that is finished. There isn't any more life. The only form in which life should appropriately take when Krishna's absence is to turn into death. Well, I said unknown, but literally it says of which there is no acquaintance. But then Vishwanath Chakravarti, his gloss on it is avidyamanata, no existence of it, or no presence of it. The life should be absent. There should be absence of life in separation from Krishna. This is not very much different from the first example as far as what it exemplifies. But we have a third example in which, also eclipse, but the literal meaning be eclipsed by just the contrary opposite of it. This is what Duryodhananath Prabhu pointed out yesterday as Vyatireka Alankar, where you seem to praise somebody, but you're actually criticizing them, or you mean the opposite of what you're actually saying. In that case, the literal meaning is still there, but it's being shadowed or eclipsed by just the opposite of it. Let's see the example. Saubhagyam etadadikam mamanata krishna pranayar mamatmani sukham pranayena kirti Drishtas chiradasi kripapi taveyam uchayar nasmaryate nabhavatatma grihasya margaha. This is a girl talking to Krishna. Also of the literal meaning be eclipsed by the figurative meaning, but a special feature here is that the figurative meaning is just the opposite of the original meaning, of the literal meaning. I didn't identify, back in the other example, I didn't identify yet what's being suggested. What's being suggested is the praiseworthiness of the manasa, the sauridam, and the yovanam. When I say that, manasa really is appropriately called manasa. That sauridam is appropriately called sauridam. That is suggesting the idea that that mentality, that friendship, and that youth is praiseworthy. That's what's vyangya. It's an idea suggested by the figurative meaning. That's the dwani. And in the last line, it extends that dying would be praiseworthy when Krishna's absent. That's suggested in the last line. Now, the third example. Saubhagyam etamadikam mamanata Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, my dear Master Krishna, Nata. This is the most extreme good fortune. Saubhagyam etadakdikam. Pranayar mamatmani sukham pranayena kirti. What's this pranayar? Hold on a second. Well, by the life airs, um, Actually, there's a different reading in Vishwanath. I have here in the book Atmani, but Vishwanath's reading it as if it was Atani. So let's take it Vishwanath's way, because he's writing the commentary. Pramaya manatani. Atani is the passive aorist participle, has been from the verb at, to expand. So has been expanded. Mama atani sukham. Pranayena kirti. Okay, so the second statement is that by the life heirs have been expanded great happiness. And pranayena, and by the loving affection, my fame has been expanded. Taking atani, the verb, to go with that clause also. Taking it a second time. So, my dear Lord Krishna, this is the greatest good fortune. My life heirs have inspired great happiness. Great happiness has been expanded within me by my life heirs. And this love has expanded my fame. Drishtad Shadasi, Krishna. You are seen now after a long time. Kripapi Taveyam Uchayar. And this is your extreme mercy. Nasmaryate Nabhavatam Bhavatatma Grihasya Marga. You don't even remember the path to your own house. Babata, by you, is not remembered even the path to your own house. Well, what does that all mean? This is crooked talk. We have to decipher it. First of all, understand the context as explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti. There's a certain gopi who was expecting Krishna and he didn't show up, and so she's very upset with him. And she's giving him false praise, thanking him for putting her in this condition of failing to show up for the appointment. So now Krishna's finally arrived and she's talking to him. And she tells him that this now your arrival at this time is my great good fortune. It is creating the most extreme good fortune for me that you have now arrived. And actually, by your being absent, my pranas have expanded great happiness within myself. I've been experiencing such bliss in your absence. Vistritam chakre, atani. They have expanded my happiness, my life heirs. And by your great love for me, my fame has been expanded. Now that I've seen you after a long time, you've thus done great favor for me. You've given great mercy to me. And this is my house. Gopi, it's the gopi talking in her house. But she's referring to it as his house. You don't even remember the path to your own home, but she's talking about her home. And she's actually asking it sarcastically. Don't you remember the path to your own home? So Krishna is showing up very late, and she's very upset at him. And she means just the opposite of everything she's saying. That she actually considers herself very unfortunate that Krishna neglects her like this. And actually she's been experiencing great distress in all this time that Krishna didn't show up. And she's saying that she's her life heirs are expanding her happiness. The actual fact is just the opposite. And she feels insulted. So she's saying that your love is expanding my glory. She means just the opposite of that. Your neglect of me is making me feel ashamed. And you've been seen after a long time. This is your great mercy. No, it's not your great mercy. It's your, you know, your disfavor to me. And don't you remember the path to your own house? Well, of course Krishna would remember the path to the house. That's not the problem. There's some other reason why he didn't show up. Not that he forgot the directions. And it's not his own house. It's her house. So she's sarcastically saying exactly the opposite of what she means at each point. So that's swabha viparitena akranta. We understand what the literal meaning is. That's not lost. But what she really means is just the opposite of everything she's saying. So that's swabha viparitena akranta. And what is suggested by all those metaphorical convolutions is that she's very upset with him. This bhava of jealous anger is suggested. You cannot express such bhava literally, but it's evoked here by the dhwani. Let's see what else Vishnu Chakravarti has to say. So there's a lakshana, a figurative usage. By saubhagya, you're figuratively meaning just the opposite of it, misfortune, and so on. By happiness, you're meaning misery, figuratively. And the fact that I haven't simply died out of this pain, that's my misfortune. It would have been better that I had just died on the spot. But I'm still alive, and therefore the presence of my life heirs and the fact that they haven't just gone away and I haven't just died is making the pain even expanding my pain. Better I had just died. So what's being suggested? The gopi is telling Krishna, you don't love me at all. That you don't have any love for me. She doesn't say that, but by saying just the opposite of that, she's implying it, suggesting it. That's Lakshana Mula Vyandvani. Okay. That is all that Kavi Karnapur is going to say about Lakshana Mula Vyanjana, suggestion based on figurative usage. Now he's going to get into the more elaborate topic, more complicated topic, of the different forms of Vyanjana based on literal meaning. There's more to say about that. Yes.
Was this last one, was this an example of a tanta?
No, it isn't.
So there's no example of a tanta niraskritam.
I'm looking. No, it says the first example is such. Sarvatra upamanas manasya tiraskara eva vyangyo bodhya. Let's see how. Yeah, the second example is an example of eclipsing of the literal meaning. The first example about the fruits and the grapes and so on was supposed to have been, according to the last sentence in Vishradat, an example of complete discard of the literal meaning. Now let's look at it and see how. Atra sarvatra upamanasya tiraskara eva vyangyo bodhya. Oh, okay, no. I'm sorry, that's not. This tiraskara means rejection. The things that are being compared, all the possible things that the lips could be compared to are being rejected. So that's not. That's also, we don't have an example here of complete rejection of the literal meaning. Not among these examples. Okay, sure. He doesn't give examples of every single possibility, especially when he gets into more and more detailed analysis, and we're counting up to over 100,000 different subcategories. It's impossible to give an example of every single one. Here's a karaka talking about the dwani that's based on literal meaning. Dvanir yas twabida mulas tatra vachyam vivakshitam. So when the suggestion is based on literal meaning, then the literal idea is intended to be expressed. Tatapi vyanganishtam syat. But still, it serves as the basis of some suggestion. Satra dvaid vidyam richati, and it comes in two varieties. Kopi laksha krama vyangyo, laksha vyangya kramo paraha. In one of them, it's possible to identify the different sequences, the sequence of the development of the suggestion. And in the other, you cannot recognize how the suggestion develops step by step, because it's too complex and too fast. Well, what does that mean? Just like in the development of rasa, in the manifestation of rasa, there are so many different components of rasa. The vibhava, the anubhavas, the vyabhichara bhavas, the stayi bhava, they all come together to make the rasa. And the rasa we want to suggest by dvani. But when that's done, you cannot analyze the development of all the different components. It's too complex and too quick. The example is given just like if you stick a needle through a pile of 100 lotus leaves, petals, then you think and you say that you've immediately stuck the needle through all 100 petals all at once. Actually, it's not true. The needle goes through one petal at a time, but you can't measure it. You can't distinguish it. It's too fast. Like a moving picture, a movie, you don't see the separate frames, so you think it's just continuous motion. Like that, when it's too complex and too fast to identify the separate stages of development, that's the category of alakshya vyangya kramo, the sequence of suggestion. There are several things suggested almost simultaneously. Each of the components, each of the bhavas is suggested, and altogether they suggest the rasa. But you cannot trace out with the human mind all these different steps. It's like sticking a needle through 100 petals. It's too quick. You just think it happens simultaneous. Whereas there are other suggestions where it's slow and simple, and you can distinguish all the components and all the steps. There are complex situations where one suggestion is suggesting another, and that's suggesting even a third. But if you're not dealing with rasa and bhava, you probably can distinguish the steps one by one of what's suggesting what. That would be lakshya krama vyangya, a suggestion in which the sequence of development is identifiable. So we can't say much about the the krama, the sequence, when we're dealing of suggestion of rasa, we just have to take it as a whole. We just have to understand what rasa is. We cannot get into too much a analysis word by word how every component of the rasa is being suggested. But when we're dealing with simpler suggestions, suggestion of meaning and of alankar, then we can separate out the different stages of development of suggestion. How one thing is suggesting another and that's suggesting another. Because that's the nature of uttama kavya. In uttama kavya, the suggestions are very vivid. There are vivid suggestions. In uttama, super excellent poetry, suggestions create further suggestions. That's the highest kind of poetry. And there's a sequence of suggestion, but if it's simple, you can identify it. Well, yeah, because I can't hear you.
Then it appears that this division into two parts with identifiable sequence of suggestions and with an identifiable sequence is based on the qualification of the speaker. Hearer, because some hearers can relate to the sequence and some, for some, it flies over their heads.
Well, yeah, but what our author is telling us is that in general, the suggestion of rasa and bhava is too complex to analyze. Maybe there's some yogi or a great, you know, meditator who can pick it apart, but ordinarily it can't be picked apart, it can't be analyzed. So it's more objective. It's of the nature of what's being suggested. Some things are just too complex to analyze. And that means we're not going to say much about, analytically, about the suggestion of rasa. We'll study rasa in a separate chapter. The rest of this chapter is going to analyze those kinds of suggestion that can be analyzed. Yes?
Do you mind if I just backpedal a little bit on the previous topic about these three examples which we read about? Palama Pipalam, then Jivanam Jivanam.
Yes.
And the third about the completely opposite talk of what is intended to say, yes, to be expressed. So these three examples, do they stand for in the first case it stands for suggestion which is based on the...
The first two are suggestions based on Lakshana.
Lakshana, because I thought that the second one was on
the third on one was based on Abhidha. I'm sorry, wait a minute.
The first and the third were probably based on Lakshana.
All three of them are based on Lakshana. All three.
All three, really?
Yeah.
But the second one appears to be based on Abhidha, because it's like manasam.
No, but there's a suggestion. Yes, literally. No, it's figurative. The literal meaning of manasa is mentality. The meaning, this other meaning of something that can be called manasa, that's figurative. The word itself is the vachaka, but when you confuse the vacha and vachaka, that's being figurative. When you take the word itself to be the meaning, then you're playing with the words, you're being figurative. So there is a lakshana there. That's what Vishwanath says. There's a lakshana, and that's what's all being suggested by that. What is being suggested? Oh, that... that these things are praiseworthy because as denoted figuratively, they're really to be called by this name. Something deserves to be called by its proper name means it's praiseworthy. If it's a praiseworthy name, then being appropriately called by that name means that you're praiseworthy. That's what's suggested. Okay, now, the kinds of suggestions that generally, or that in, as a rule, cannot be analyzed. You cannot distinguish the sequence of their development. They're rasa, bhava, and bhava basa and rasa basa, and bhava shanti, the different stages in the development of bhava. The rise of bhava, the cessation of bhava, the combination of bhavas, these, the ones involving rasa and bhava, are beyond analysis. At least analysis of the stages of development of it. To our perception, like a moving picture, it seems to be simultaneous. Cannot be? Yeah. Well, yes, you can say, I mean, there is analysis of it, but you can't perceive it. You can talk about it theoretically, but when it comes down to actually experiencing bhava, it just seems to happen all at once. You don't deal with bhava analytically, even though you can read about the analysis in the Nectar of Devotion. When you actually experience the bhava, it just seems to happen. Okay, here's the Karaka introducing the next section. Yatranu dvanina vyangyam lakshyate kramapurvakam. When, in that situation in which there's a subsequent dvani, anudvani, that's a dvani created by one dvani creating another. It's like an echo and a re-echo. So anudvani. When an anudvani is suggested, when a suggestion makes another suggestion, in a particular sequence, a particular order, that is laksha krama vyangya, an analyzable by sequence suggestion. But it can be, here's the division, it can be based on three factors, the shabda, the arta, or both. These analyzable dvanis can be based on the meaning, on the sound, on the meaning, or both, a combination of the sound and the meaning. Actually, meaning is always involved. What the distinction is the ones we call shabdabhu, based on sound, is where it really matters what word you're using. Whereas when it's just based on meaning, you could substitute a synonymous word and the suggestion would still work the same way. When the success of the suggestion depends on using a particular word, that's shabdabhu, based on a particular word. When it's based on the meaning and it doesn't matter which word you use to express that meaning, then it's artabhu. And some situations are complex, where it's partly one way and partly the other. We'll see examples of all this. Now let's take the first of those two, where the suggestion, we're talking about anudvani, a situation where one suggestion is making another suggestion, which is the highest form of poetry. Oh, okay. Shabda arta obaya shakti bhu. I left out the word shakti. Shakti is the expressive power of words. You know, words have potency to express meaning. And we talked in the second chapter about three kinds of such potencies. The abhida shakti, lakshana shakti, and dvani shakti. So words, the sounds have power to express meaning, and the meanings have their own power, even apart from the words. And they can make suggestions. So some suggestions are created by the power of expression of the words, whether it's literal figurative or suggested. They can create other suggestions. Or sometimes the meaning, not the particular word, but just the meaning of it. Even you can substitute other words. The meaning creates suggestion. And that meaning, the words are called, words have potency of literal meaning, and then the meaning itself can be literal, or it can be figurative, or it can be suggested. Now, suggestion, especially suggestion on top of suggestion, is done on the basis of potency of words to express. But sometimes it's the potency of the word to express, and there are three kinds of potency: literal, figurative, suggested. The potency of a word can create, the potency of a word to express in those three ways can create the suggestion. Or the meaning that that potency generated, that meaning can create the suggestion. The difference is just whether it depends, whether the suggestion depends on using a particular word or not. You can have an idea, make a suggestion, or you can have specific words through their meanings make a suggestion. Okay? And actually, sometimes even just the sound, like an alliteration, apart from the meaning, can make suggestions. I can't make it simpler. I'm not going to say it again. Let's look at the first case. Now we look at the analysis of the specifics and examples, it'll make it clearer what we're actually talking about. Let's get down to details. In the first case, where we have Shabda Shakti Bhu Vyanjana, suggestion that's based on the power of expression of the particular word. Some word in a verse, the word itself is making a suggestion. Not the whole purport of the verse or the whole statement, but just a particular word in itself, by itself, has a potency to make a suggestion. In that case, what is being suggested? One of two things, two different kinds of suggestion. Suggestion of artha, no, of alankar or vastu. A suggested meaning can suggest another meaning, or it can suggest a figure of speech, an alankar. We had an example, didn't we, of alankar in that Vyatireka alankar that Dhyonat pointed out. The alankar of, well, here when in this verse. The third verse that had the opposite of what it was being said implied. That's actually what's being suggested there is the Vyatireka Alankar, the ornament of speech of saying the opposite of what you mean. That's an ornament of poetry. So, in other words, if we're dealing with a suggestion that's based on the power of a particular word, the expressive power of a particular word, what is going to be expressed is going to be either alankar or vastu. Vastu means a certain story, the idea being, the story being told. That's the vastu, the subject matter. Or what can be suggested. In other words, a certain idea could be suggested. Or else, one of the particular figures of speech could be suggested. One or the other. Okay, it's 12 o'clock. We'll have to just come back next time and look at examples. And maybe it'll make sense when we look at the examples. There'll be a lot of this. Of Vyanjanas, of alankars and vastus. We'll see dozens of examples of them, so we'll become familiar with them and get an idea what they are. Okay? And thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijo.